This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. I want to let you know that part of the show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive. And they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. For a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they pride themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used vehicles. And whether you buy a used or new vehicle, only at Stan McNabb do you get free oil changes and new tires for the life of that vehicle. And you can't beat that anywhere. And talking about great deals, I have Mr. Alan Lovelace on today, and he's one of our top guns here in the photography business, and has been for a long time. And I don't know why I even said gun, but automatically I start thinking of the I guess the Big Spring Shooters Club more than anything. You owned that business at one time.
I did. Betty and I owned it and enjoyed it. It's a great place. Still going strong out there, Truman.
Well, now how's Betty doing?
She's awesome.
And didn't you tell me she just got back from Florida?
She did. We went down there and did a week's worth of beach portraits.
Uh-huh.
And then she stayed a few extra days with her friends and got a little rest that she deserves.
Was Sharon down there, too? I think you were telling
she
me.
Was. She was.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, they're great
friends. I can't
friends.
Get her to come on my radio show, but yet she can travel 500 miles to Destin, Florida, and just go down there and relax with all her buddies.
She needs to do that, too, though. That's a hard-working lady right there. Sharon's busy.
She's busy with grandkids.
She is.
And if anybody doesn't know who Sharon is, she was E.E. Rivers' daughter, or is E.E. Rivers' daughter, and she was one of the main cogs over at Rivers Advertising. They had a great business over there at that time, and Jeff, and it was just a tremendous family and great friends of ours. Well, first of all, I want to hear a little bit, because you are absolutely one of these people that loves guns, firearms.
I am.
Now, is that the reason that you got into that business to start with, skeet shooting and those type of things? Sports shooting, I guess.
Well, I can blame the clay target shooting on Clyde Craddock, because I was doing business at his dry cleaners.
Yes.
One day I drive through there and he goes, "You like to hunt?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You want to shoot some clay targets?" I said, "I've never done that."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Well, let's go to Nashville." So we went up there, and that's all it took. That was bit. You know, you didn't have to have a license. You didn't have a limit on them. You could shoot all you could afford. And I love shooting clay targets. And then we started traveling and shooting some skeet, and then mm-hmm. sporting clays. And then I found out about trap. Trap's mm-hmm. the oldest and safest sport you can participate in.
Where did that originate? You know, was it in England?
Trap?
Yeah.
No, it's an American sport.
Oh, is it? Uh-huh. Okay.
But it's worldwide.
Right.
And they do shoot a lot of clay targets there. They're more into sporting clays. It's like golf with a shotgun. You go to mm-hmm. this hole, and then you go to the next place. Mm-hmm. They're really into that over there. But in our area, trap is really big, because you can line up five people side by side.
Mm-hmm.
You say pull, shoot, pull, bang, pull, bang, pull, bang. It's good for the people that are ADD, because you don't have to think very much.
Mm-hmm.
It's always your turn to shoot. There's a lot more people participating in it. And in our area, we have a tremendous amount of young people that are shooting.
Tell us about that, because that is really interesting. You know, you have all these people that are anti-guns and things like that. But there is a real positive side to firearms. I'm one of these gun advocates. I love guns of all kinds, but we grew up with guns.
I mean,
we had them in our hands when we were 5 and 6 years old with our granddads and our dads and things like that.
Right, we did. And there's a lot of young people who don't have a hunting heritage in their family. You know,
mm-hmm.
they hear about a trap shooting team at their school, mm-hmm. at Middle Tennessee Christian School, where they're awesome. Those people are in the nationals every year.
Yeah, you were telling me about how good they were before we came on the show.
They can beat anybody, and all around us, Coffee County, mm-hmm. BGA, the Webb School, all these people have on their own clay target teams, because it's really the safest sport you can be in. There's no ambulance in our end zone. There's no team doctor. They'll, you know, we shoot. We've been shooting trap in this country for over 120 years. Nobody's ever been killed in a competition, ever. And you can't say it about football, basketball, track, any of those things. So that's one of my sales pitches when I meet with, used to meet, we don't do it anymore, with the principals and school boards, and say, look, and the girls can compete with the guys. You know, but we've got some All-Americans in this, several All-Americans in this area. And that's, you know, that's out of 10 people in the whole country, we'll have three or four of them from Rutherford County or Middle Tennessee.
That's amazing. So, and you started that. How did you get it started on the ground floor?
Well, my son was really good young. For some reason, he had a great talent. And as he was coming up, there weren't a lot of young people shooting, and I wanted to see more of it. And there was a national program that I found out about that would start to have teams instead of just individuals. So Betty and I decided about that time we got Big Springs, because they were really about to close that place up. It was just kind of slow. And I said, well, let me see what I can do with it. So we would open it back up and pushed it, and it was doing great. But we wanted young people out there. So we started the teams, and we started with five kids. And we, when Betty and I quit and retired, we had over 3,000 registered young people in the state of Tennessee. Because we'd go from Memphis to the Smoky Mountains talking and showing, and it's just taken off. And
How many novices do you have that have never picked up a handgun or a rifle or a shotgun in their lives?
Bunches of them.
Isn't that something?
I had a mom tell me one time that she said there were no guns in our house, and they weren't allowed, and now I'm a coach. And she said, and we had a kid in Manchester who turned out to be an All-American this past year, and he was second in the whole wide world in 16-yard trap this August. And he, when he went to the first meeting for their trap team, he thought they were going to use little cages and humanely trap little animals. They were going to be the trap team and go around and remove varmints, I think. So at their banquet this year, they gave him a gag gift of a little wire trap, because he thought that's what trap was. And he turned out to be a super talent, had never shot a shotgun, and now he's just a hero.
Now, what low do you shoot if you're shooting skeet? I mean, what low do you put in the shells?
It's just a really light bird shot. It's a real small pellet, number 8 shot or number 7.5, and a low recoil. And, you know, people, you see it so often where people take a person that doesn't shoot and they hand them a shotgun and it kicks them, and then they laugh and the person never shoots again. Well, when you shoot as much as we do, we have shock absorbers on our stocks and all kinds of recoil reducers, so you can shoot 400 or 500 12-gauge shells in a day and not get hurt. And little kids, we have, I mean, we have kids that are 10 years old. They have to be 10 years old to start the program. They have to have hunter safety, you know, and then they can go on and shoot and not be sore, not be bruised, and they can have fun and be safe about it.
And it is completely safe. When you get someone who has been taught how to use a weapon, then you're never going to have any problems with that person later on with some kind of accident happening, because you've gone through all the things that have to. And that person would be qualified to get a hunter's license after that and go hunting, right?
Right. Yeah, you have to have the hunter safety. You have to know what's going on. And, you know, in these clay target competitions, you don't load until it's time to shoot. And when you walk off, it's unloaded. You don't ever have your gun loaded. And everyone watches everyone. And the novices have coaches or they have mentors that are right with them. And you learn to watch each other. You know, and it's just super safe.
Well, it's hand-eye, a lot of it. How many people do you see when they go through, or did you see, when they were going through your classes that were instinctively good? I mean, every once in a while you'll run across one, just like somebody could shoot a basketball or throw a football or hit a baseball. I guess it's more akin to hitting a baseball with hand eye. How many people do you actually see that are proficient when they first start?
More than you realize.
Really?
Many more. And they're surprised. You know, they come out there and they go, well, I'm going to try this. You know, and they hit one or two out of the first five or ten. They go, this isn't bad. And then they get excited, and all of a sudden they find out they're really naturally good at just, it's like pointing your finger, you know, and just like you would if a bird was flying by or if anything else was flying. You just look at it with your finger and go, oh, I can do that. And once you find out that it's not going to hurt, you start having fun.
It's addictive.
And girls are great. They learn easily because they don't have an ego. You know, you can show them what to do, and they'll go, okay, I'll do it the right way. Where a guy goes, you know, I know what to do. Leave me alone. Mm-hmm. Girls.
It's very intimidating to have a girl shooting against you because I guess maybe the greatest shot ever, if you go back to Western lore, would be Annie Oakley's. And she would actually use, believe it or not, a pistol and a rifle to actually shoot coin-like figures that would be tossed in the air.
Yeah, glass balls, yeah. And different targets, whatever they threw up, she could hit.
That doesn't make sense, but I've actually seen, I don't know if anybody, I know you have, but they have this show, it's on one of the history channels, and they compare today's shootist with yeah. the shootist of the old time and let them shoot under certain conditions, stressful and whatever. And I sit there and I say, how in the world can anybody throw a penny up in the air and shoot it with a pistol? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It just seems like it's totally impossible.
We had a world record set at Big Springs a few years back by Tom Knapp,
where he would take, he was one of them.
Yes.
I think.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome.
Yeah.
He's got the great voice, you know, yeah. This is Tom Knapp.
Yeah.
And he would hold 11 clay targets in his hand, which is really hard to do anyway. Mm-hmm. And then he would throw them up, grab the shotgun, and shoot them all before they hit the ground. And he had a Benelli fixed up to shoot 11 times with mm-hmm. a long extension. And he'd set the record, and then he put on a show for the local, like Laverne and Smyrna. All those schools have teams too, and mm-hmm. they came out as the audience to watch him set this world record. And then he put on his show, and he could shoot behind the back and over shoulder, and he shoots rifles, pistols, whatever you want to do, just super coordinated and super smart.
He was born in the wrong era. He should have been born in the late 1800s.
He'd look good in a cowboy
yeah,
hat.
Yeah, he would be the town marshal right now.
Yep. Yeah.
And everybody would be scared to death of him. Now, when the skeets, when they're shot out, uh-huh. do they fly at the same pattern each time they go out? Because, or can you regulate the speed, or how do you do that when you're in competition?
Yeah, in the there's games, there's skeet, and there's trap and the sporting. Mm-hmm. Skeet, you know exactly where they're coming out, two little houses, and mm-hmm. you stand in eight different places on the field mm-hmm. that are designated. Mm-hmm. And the targets fly 45 miles an hour mm-hmm. every time. They're set by springs and mm-hmm. radar guns. And trap has one little house, and you're standing behind it like a little whale house. Mm-hmm. And the machine you can't see is oscillating. Mm-hmm. And it's not just going back and forth, but it's stopping. So you don't ever know where it's coming out. And you're further away from it.
So you have to react differently each time.
Right. Your eyes have got to lock on to that target that's getting away and try to break it. And then sporting clays is a lot of fun because it's like golf. You go down the path and you come to this station and they got one bouncing on the ground like a rabbit. It's a little clay target rolling along. And then they throw one straight up, 50 yards straight up, and you're watching this thing climb up out of there and you're supposed to shoot that. And that's a lot of fun.
What is the most consecutively you've ever seen to be shot at without a miss?
400 and... I saw my son go 473 one
time. Oh, wow. Now, did you teach him to shoot?
I started him out, and then I think his mother must have been a great shot because he went way past me really quick. Mm. He was little, Truman, and Henry Horton was the only place around where you could shoot.
Remember that.
I must have gotten rained out that day and didn't have a portrait session, so we jumped in the car to go practice at Henry Horton, and he's mm. sitting in the back about 9 or 10 years old, and he's got a little Remington, little automatic that he's starting out with. And I hear this little voice in the back seat.
What gauge was it?
It was a 20.
Okay.
And he says, Dad, did you bring my shotgun? And I went, oh, no, Mitch, I'm so sorry. I forgot. And he's sitting there for a minute, and I heard him say, we'll leave your gun at home next time. See how you like it. I knew he liked it then. He wasn't just coming along with Daddy. He wanted to shoot. And he's turned out to be an All-American. He's the top of the Tennessee shooters every year.
Now, how old is he now?
He just turned 30.
Oh, wow.
He just won his first world championship. Mm-hmm. He's always been in the top shooters. He's always been in the top 10 in the nation for several years, but he won the all-around championship at the world championships called the Grand American. Mm-hmm. He hit 398 out of 400, good where you night. Shoot doubles, you shoot 16 yards, and then they move you back to handicap, which is 27 yards away from the house. Mm-hmm. And he had a 99 there. 199 out of this, and then he ran the doubles. So he missed two out of 400.
Now, do they shoot different gauges, or how do they monitor that? Because you know everybody knows shotgun, they go all the way through the gamut of gauges,
yeah.
and the accuracy a lot of times will depend upon that and the type of shot they're using.
Well, people like Clyde Craddock and those guys that shot skeet well had four mm-hmm. gauges. They shot the 12, the 6, the 12, 20, 28, and 410. In mm-hmm. trap, you just change your load. You're still shooting a 12 gauge most of the time. So if you're up close, you're just shooting a lighter load. If you're moving back like Mitchell, then you're shooting a heavier powder and shot.
Mm-hmm. But, do you have your own shells, or do they provide those shells?
No, you got your own. You can reload them all.
You load your own. I guess a lot of them do load their own.
It used to be that you could save money by doing that, quite a bit of money on mm-hmm. each box. But now lead has gone up, as all other precious metals, I guess. But lead's gone up so much that it doesn't save you much money to reload.
If I remember correctly, at one time, and this has been years ago, they were trying to outlaw lead shots because of some type of reaction to the soil and things like that. Do you remember that when we'd all go dove hunting many years ago and they were trying to, I can't remember exactly what it was.
Oh, they did.
But we were having some problems with that.
They've given up on that sort of thing, I think, in Tennessee, I know, but for waterfowl, mm-hmm. they did make all of us waterfowlers go to steel shot,
mm-hmm.
and that's supposed to, if it goes in water, then it rusts, goes away. And the reason was, in California, they had some data that they had gathered, which mm-hmm. was later proved to be false,
mm-hmm.
that it was...
That's not unusual.
No. The ducks were supposed to be eating it, the geese were eating it, and they would die with lead poisoning. Well, mm-hmm. they couldn't eat enough lead to make them sick, but mm-hmm. but they got it passed, and we shoot steel shot, which I think wounds more waterfowl than kills, and then you're wasting more. If you're shooting lead, they fall. You pick them up, you eat them,
mm-hmm.
and you're not. I'm not worried about lead. I'm not worried about lead.
Now, how many kids? What's an estimate of kids that are actually going through that program right now? That you got started? Because I know there are a lot of teams in Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, and Middle Tennessee that come here.
I don't know the exact number anymore, but I know if you go out on a big shoot weekend, there'll be 300 kids that'll go through there competing.
Mm-hmm.
And every, you know, like I say, 10 years old to seniors. And now we're starting a program, or they're starting a program at MTSU. And you can get college scholarships to shoot clay targets now,
mm-hmm.
which is, we're proud of that, because Lindenwood University, Bethel University in West mm-hmm. Tennessee, several of them are offering full ride scholarships to go shoot clay targets. That's cool.
You know, I was telling you earlier, there's a resemblance to me between you and Ronnie Barrett. You both excellent photographers. I mean, top gun photographers. But you both have that, just that love for guns, for any type of weapon. And I was telling you earlier, when Ronnie was thinking about making his first weapon, he came and showed me the design that he had written out or drawn out in pencil. And I never dreamed that he could carry it as far as he did. And of course, he's a genius, as we all know. But there is that certain type of quality that you have in your photography. I have seen that in a number of people, and you've got it in yours, whether it be a personal photography or commercial or whatever. And I've always been amazed that you have to have something visual to be able to portray and put that on paper, and it still amazed me. You have to be almost born with that talent.
There's a decisive moment in a photograph.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like when a flower gets to its peak,
mm-hmm.
and it's just perfect, and then the next day it's wilted a little bit, or 2 days before it's not quite there,
mm-hmm.
and you have to know when it's right, when to take that picture, when that horse is going to jump over the jump, or when that baby's about to smile. You have to see it coming, you know, and you got to know when the bride's going to throw that flower. Where are you going to catch those flowers? You know, you're not mm-hmm. going to catch it in her hand or catch it after it's hit the floor. You want to be, and you know, my friend Ronnie Barrett, I'm glad he got in the gun business, because he's a great photographer, and I was glad to see
a lot of competition there.
That's right. Go ahead and make guns. I'm glad to hear it.
But we were talking about one of my favorite movies of all time before we came on the show, and it's called Secondhand Lines, and I can see you and Ronnie sitting on the front porch of an old piece of land somewhere with thousands of acres, with your shotguns in your hands waiting for the next salesman to show up.
Ronnie would be that crusty guy that would not let him out of the car. He would be the man. He's a piece of work himself. I love it. Donna would help him, though.
Oh, yeah.
She's a good mate for him.
But you know, photography business is a great business to get into, but it's a very, very competitive business. It looks like, you know, it just one of those that you just get into, and it's just so simple, and you enjoy being with the people. It's not that way, is it?
No. Somebody said that, oh, you get $10, you know, you keep most of it. I said, no, the picture's free. It's what it takes to get it back to you that costs money.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much production. There's so much that goes into the cost of any product that you make
mm-hmm.
that people never see. They think if you're in business for yourself, you know, they got in $50, they keep 50. Mm-hmm. No, you get two or five. You know, if a good studio will maybe get to keep 12 to 15% of their gross income.
Wow.
You know, so you got to turn some dollars. People want to be photographers. Most of them need to be married to somebody else that makes money, because it takes a while to get enough money flowing that you could actually eat and pay for your house or your car or whatever you got to do. So, you know, I see tons of people out here, Truman, that are trying to be photographers, and I want them to do well. I also want them to be professional about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Cannonsburg on a Saturday, you can't walk for all the people taking pictures, or
mm-hmm.
or the people at Oakland's Mansion have been complaining because people come out there and unload props and from trampolines to sofas to take pictures on, you know, and it's just a lot of people out there trying, but they need to get a little bit further down the road before they start hanging the shingle out.
Well, you can't really be a professional photographer without years of training. I know that. But the equipment that they put out now, the cameras and everything that goes with it, and all the places that say they can have your pictures back in 24 hours or whatever, there is a big difference in the quality of those pictures, isn't there?
A huge difference. And there's so many trends right now to do the kind of a snapshot, follow your kid around, and whatever they do, we'll just snap pictures of it, mm-hmm. and then here's your disc.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you do a professional portrait, then there's posing involved, there's mm-hmm. lighting involved, there's the right lens that you're doesn't let your nose look like it's too long,
mm-hmm.
or you don't have a shadow through both eyes. You know, you're a professional photographer looking at everything. You look all the way around that opening in that camera, all the way around that eyepiece, and you check all the details. Is there a limb coming out of her ear? You know, is there something coming out of their back? Is there something in front of them that's distracting? You know, you're looking at all that. Where's the sunlight? Is it behind them, in front of them? What's mm-hmm. it doing? And then after you get the image, then you've got to start with the artwork that's going to make them look younger or clear up their skin or change the color of their skin or do whatever you got to do. And then we send it to a professional lab. We don't print that stuff. We send it off.
Mm-hmm.
They print it properly on the best materials, not just some little printer in the closet right there. And then after it's printed, it's mounted on an acid-free mount board that'll last forever. Then we pay extra to have them coated with a UV coating that of whatever texture we want, so it's not going to fade. Because you know, mm-hmm. you've seen those pictures come in orange and purple, and
mm-hmm.
you see a yearbook or like a senior picture, then the guy's so purple that you can't tell who he is, or so orange.
Mm-hmm.
Knock on wood, we don't have that problem, because I've always, and I'm sure Ronnie did, and the Rawsons did, and the Shacklets do, and all mm-hmm. those people that really are in business, that have been in business, pay the extra money to make sure it is an heirloom that will survive.
Because
now they tell us, oh, it's going to last you for another 100 or 200 years. Well, we do everything possible to make it last. I want generations to see this work. I don't want it fading out on us.
You know, one thing that you pick up that lasts forever is your high school annual.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody wants to look back. I don't care if you've been out of school 5 years or 60 years. Everybody wants to look back and see their friends, how they were. Do you have to go through some type of process to be able to get, I guess, the contract with the schools? Do you have to show your work, and do you have to prove that it's going to be a lasting quality? Because it really does mean a lot, just not to the person, the school person, but also to the family of that person and their friends. I look back, and some of my pictures probably look like me. Maybe that's why I don't like them as well. Nobody likes their young pictures for some reason. The hair's out of place. You had a bad haircut that day or whatever.
I think the kids are a lot cooler now. They really are more conscious of how they look. Mm-hmm. They see so much more in their magazines and their and TV and movies. So they're prettier than we were at that age. You know, they pay attention to it. And they're really
we didn't care, really.
No, show yeah. up. I didn't know I was having my senior pictures made that day.
Me either.
Line up. What are we doing? We're having pictures made. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now they plan it. You know, they want to bring their pets, or they want to bring their cars, or they want to bring their truck, their four-wheeler, whatever they're going to bring. You know,
we'll keep talking about that.
All right.
Just want to let you know that part of the show is brought to you by Blue Restaurant and Bar. This portion of the show is brought to you by them, and located in the Jackson Heights Plaza, they have something for everyone on their menu. From steaks, fresh seafood, pastas, salads, appetizers, and special items unique to Blue. They have six items for lunch at just $6. Enjoy their Sunday Live brunch beginning at 10 a.m., and you have music with Larry Pinkerton and Avant Lane. Whether it's enjoying the courtyard at dinner, the game on the big screen TVs, or piano music Friday and Saturday evenings, there's something for everyone at Blue. Blue Restaurant and Bar, located in the Jackson Heights Plaza. Be sure to visit their website at blue-restaurant.com. That's Blue Restaurant and Bar, owners Marty Brown and Greg Pogue. And I think I'm going to go over there and enjoy a dinner tonight, just sitting out on the courtyard.
This is Steve Grimsley with Zippy Shell. Are you looking for storage? Perhaps you're preparing your home for sale, downsizing, or just in need of some extra space. Well, then you should give us a call. We offer convenient, affordable storage solutions right here in Rutherford County. We deliver a storage container to you, you pack it, and we'll pick it up and store your goods in our secure facility. We are locally owned and operated. To check out our grand opening specials, give us a call at 216-7879 or visit us at zippyshell.com. Save time, save money, save everything.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
This is Wednesday, October the 20th, and there's a flu shot clinic from 2 until 6 this evening over at Creekside Assisted Living. That's just off Highway 99 near Kaysen Lane. 2 until 6 this evening, and our friends over at Reeves Sane Drugstore are furnishing the flu and pneumonia shots. That's 2 until 6 this evening at Creekside Assisted Living. That big homecoming wraps up at 7 o'clock tonight at the Christiana Church of Christ. Also today through Friday, the final day is to see the artwork of Amanda Brown in the rotunda of the Murfreesboro City Hall. This is open from 8 each morning until 4:30 in the afternoon, and it's absolutely free to see. A Red Cross blood drive all day tomorrow at the new Red Cross office. 9 in the morning until 6 in the evening, and the Red Cross is at 501 Memorial Boulevard, the former Chamber of Commerce building. You still have time to call Pat Whitaker over at the Lane Agripark and sign up for that pickle workshop that you've heard us talking about. That's tomorrow, 10 until noon at the Lane Agripark. Pat Whitaker's phone number is 898-7710. And Central Magnet School's Fish and Chips is coming up tomorrow night from 5 until dark on the soccer field right behind the school. Bring your lawn chair or blanket. Enjoy some great food and Beatles and bluegrass music. That's 5 until dark tomorrow night at Central Magnet School. And as a result of my triple bypass heart surgery back in June, I'm this year's honoree at the Heart Walk. I look forward to seeing you there on Sunday, October 30th, at Middle Tennessee Medical Center.
Weather Eye.
Cloudy with occasional sun this afternoon, high in the mid-70s. Tonight, cloudy. Chance of showers and storms, low near 59. Cloudy on Thursday with more showers and storms. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 70.
Hi, this is Mike at Maple Street Grill. Debbie and I would like to invite you down for a new happy hour 3 to 6 Monday through Friday. Try some of the exciting new menu items, citrus halibut, southwest mahi, or a new bone-in ribeye by guest request. The Maple Street Grill located on the west side of historic downtown Murfreesboro.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS AM and FM.
Today's guest, Alan Loveless.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too. I'm a-licking my lips now. How about you?
You're listening to John Blankenship and Friends, and we're talking about Avon Lane, Ken and Sarah Frizzell, Billy Yearwood, and he's on the mandolin. And I tell you what, go there on a Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. You're going to listen to their great music. We're talking about country, western, and almost anything else. And you'll have one of the best breakfasts you've ever put in your mouth. Just take about a 10-15 minute drive down John Bragg Highway. It'll be on your left. You'll see a sign. And turn there and go about 2 more miles, and you'll be at the Readable Mill. And it's one of the most wonderful places that you can go and get away from the cares of the world and really enjoy yourself. Find a lot of new friends out there. And the address is 5418 Murfreesboro Road, Readable, Tennessee. The number is 563-6455, and I guarantee you, you're going to love what Tom Brady has done with that meal. It's a fully working meal and one of the few that's still in existence in the United States. And I was thinking about, while we were talking about that, Alan, that have you ever done any photography work out there?
I have. I've got some old black and whites I did out there, and they're just in the early 70s. Mm-hmm. That was a big deal to go to Brown's Mill and Readable Mill and photograph. Just beautiful areas out there, the rocks and the water, and it's just a neat setting for just the mill itself. And then if you put somebody in front of it, it's even better.
And you've got a great historical business. You and I don't want to mention the competitors, but I know all you guys are friends, the Shacklets and all of those that have just absolutely maintain the historical integrity of Rutherford County and Murfreesboro. And of course, we're talking about MTSU now because they're having their centennial and Murfreesboro's having their bicentennial.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah. You
know, the Shacklets have done a great job. They are the keepers of our history.
Right.
Our photographic history.
Right.
You can get anything you want from them.
Yeah, and their dad, and I presume that your business is going to continue on, and 100 years from now, they're going to be pulling up all of your stuff. And
I hope so.
That's what makes it so great, because nobody wants a bad picture of themselves, especially when you're having something special going on, whether it be a wedding or birthdays or all those things, anniversaries. I'm sure you get a lot of those calls.
Oh, we do. Well, luckily, right now, we're not doing weddings anymore.
Oh, really?
No. When my son became a great shooter, we had to be certain places for him to compete. Mm-hmm. And I said a lot of prayers over it and said, I'd really like to make a living, Lord, with not doing weddings. Because they plan those way ahead on Saturday and Sunday and
yeah,
Friday.
Yeah, and it's important.
Yeah. Well, so do they plan the events we need to be showing up for. So we were able to not do them and do other things. And
congratulations to you.
Thank you.
For putting that much into your son. I think that's great.
It turned out to be a good investment. You know, I've been very proud
of it. We're always hopeful that our kids and grandkids are going to be great investments. Yep. But they are anyway, just for the joy that they put into our lives.
Oh, yes. How many grandkids do you have?
I have 4.
Oh, neat. Mm-hmm. What ages?
They go from, let's see, 8 all the way up to 15.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're getting into a whole new world, I'm sure, at those ages.
When you're around grandkids, it's a whole new world, no matter what age it is.
Isn't it fun, though? We have 3. We have a 5-year-old.
Oh, lucky you.
Yep. 5, 4, and 18 months. A boy and 2 girls.
Does Betty take them over to Sharon's, and they kind of swap grandkids out?
They just let them all mingle and have fun, and they just sit back and watch and grin. They love them.
Now, you do the personal stuff, and of course, that would be the most fun for me if I was a photographer with each individual and their special times in their lives. But you do commercial photography, too.
Some. We do aerial photography occasionally, mm-hmm. where we fly over different businesses or events and do that kind of stuff. And some products, you know, mm-hmm. we were talking about Dr. Nate Schott having his toothpaste out. We photographed his product, and the toothpaste is really good. You got to try that sometime.
What does it taste like?
It's not as...
And why in the world does Nate go in the toothpaste business?
Because it's a natural toothpaste, from what I understand. It doesn't burn like Crest and all those others. Mm-hmm. It's really more mild, and it's made out of natural ingredients, so it's better for you.
And you've tried it?
I have. I've still got a tube I'm working on.
Now, when you do commercials for people, I'm sure that they're your toughest critics. So what do you do to sell them when you get their product ready? Because I know you have to use a lot of of your mind and your eyes or your inner eyes to try to create that for yourself.
We start with their idea, and then the good thing about what living now is that we are digital. So mm-hmm. we can show them as we're going. They're there with us photographing. We can look at the product and go, okay, let's change this. Let's mm-hmm. move this. We need it lighter, darker, change the angle. Mm-hmm. And then when they like it, we're done. Mm-hmm. You know, but until then, you know, we're just working it out. It's like a puzzle. And we start with basic lighting and basic, you know, the good thing is it doesn't run off. You don't have to blow bubbles to make it laugh, mm-hmm. you know, so you can photograph whatever you're doing. But it's we do more people, a lot more children, a lot more families, and tons of high school seniors. And that's a fun thing. But when they come in with a commercial product, it's kind of like, whew, you can relax a little bit.
I'm surprised that you don't work a lot with the outdoor magazines, or maybe you do, the gun magazines and the hunting magazines and those like that. And you probably could shoot a lot of that right there where you live and where you have your studio, because you have an amazing amount of wildlife over there where you are.
We do. You would be surprised what comes through over on Clark Boulevard, mm-hmm. right there at 305 where my pond and bridge are. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. I had a little girl come with her sister Monday to have her portrait made. And mm-hmm. she said, she's about an 8 or 9 year old little girl. She said, we're at the magic place. Because when they passed by, they would see the island and the bridge. And, mm-hmm. and the first time she ever saw it, it was lit up for Christmas. Mm-hmm. She said, that place is magic. And when she got there, she wanted to run across that bridge and get on the island and check everything out. But we have, I was telling you earlier, you know, we have everything from coyotes to deer to river otters. We have mink. We have tons of ducks. If you come through there in the morning, we got wood ducks just mm-hmm. falling in there. Mallards that don't know that I'm a waterfowler, and I take great care of them, feed them. But it's just amazing what comes through. We've had beavers.
So you have stuff that are there that nobody, very few people in this community have ever seen. And they don't realize that all of that is centered right here in Murfreesboro itself. I mean, how many people get to see the river otters? And they're probably one of the most fascinating creatures that you'll ever see.
They're quick and they're slinky, and they ate all my fish. I was telling you earlier, they ate every fish in that big old pond.
You know what would be neat? If you could find a way to put a bib on one of them, and while they're laying on their back feeding on a fish, wouldn't that be a great picture?
I love seeing them on the Animal Planet where they take that muscle and they mm-hmm. take a rock and crack it open. They're clever.
Have you taken any pictures of all that wildlife that you've had there?
I don't.
Oh man.
Well, I have blue herons that fly in, those really tall swimmers.
Oh, I love them. Yeah.
You know, I have photographed them, and of course the ducks. I like to sneak down there and do some duck pictures. But all these other things are usually moving pretty quick through there. And we have muskrats by the tons since we got the river otters. For some reason, the muskrats came too.
Hmm.
And I've been there 32 years at that same house.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize you'd been there that long.
Yeah, bought it in 79.
And I remember when it went up for sale just before you bought it. I said, that is a gorgeous place.
It was
absolutely gorgeous.
It was a blessing to get that house. You know, when I bought it, though, it had been empty since from like May to October when we bought it and moved in.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know we had a front sidewalk or even a mailbox. It was overgrown so much, and the whole summer nobody was there. So we had to cut the jungle back to find things.
Yeah, you put a lot of work in that place.
It's fun, though. It's a work of love. It's you got to see it. Nope, people can't see the secret gardens behind there. We have a huge waterfall, mm-hmm. and people don't even know it until they walk around the corner and go, wow, that's pretty cool. And then the dock with a gazebo out over the water that people like so much.
Now, most people that contract with you for photographs and where they want their young people or whatever, a lot of that is done right at your house. But when they select somewhere that's kind of exotic, do you go wherever the
sure.
picture has to be taken?
Sure. We go to Suwannee and do bridal portraits, or we went down to near Fayetteville and did a mm-hmm. senior portrait last spring. And mm-hmm. we were in Cannon County. This family over there, the really nice family, they do tractor pools, and they mm-hmm. had huge tractors that are beautiful, you know, and they wanted their son photographed with them. So we went over there. Did that. So wherever you want to go, we'll go. A lot of horse pictures. People trailer their horses to my place, though, because it's got a perfect spot. You pull right down there between the two houses.
They actually pull their trailer down there and unload their horses at your place?
Yeah. And cows and pigs. And you would not believe.
How many acres have you got there?
Almost 3.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. a lot of my Cannon County seniors will bring a horse and a four-wheeler, and you know, and or we're doing MTCS students. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to. We do a lot of seniors over there that have pickup trucks. Mm-hmm. It's really gotten into them, and they'll drive them down in there between the waterfall and the pond, mm-hmm. and we'll do them either with a pond background or a waterfall background, and mm-hmm. they'll put the four-wheeler in the back of it, and they bring all the stuff. We have a big time.
Now, if you get a contract with a school or a school system to do all of their pictures for the school annual, do you get business from there? Or I presume a lot of times maybe if someone else has the contract with the school. Now, when you sign a contract with a school, I presume that everybody has to have their picture made with you.
They're supposed to. There are two schools that we do that the kids are required to be. If they're going to be in the annual mm-hmm. and on the composite for the wall, they have to have us photograph them.
So it has to go with the photographer who has the contract with right. the school, or you don't get your picture in the right. in the annual. Okay.
And we do a couple of other schools that they allow the seniors to go where they want to and still want them and let them be in the annual, you mm-hmm. know. But thank goodness they see the difference in quality and they still come to us. Mm-hmm. There are a few who don't, but most of them, when they're offered the choice, would rather come to us. And it's you can see the difference. I'm very proud to say that. Delbridge was my hero when I came to town and
got, Ed Delbridge.
The Delbridge Studios, yeah. period. Yeah. I mean, right. you had Sam Causey and Mike Freeman and all those guys mm-hmm. that were really good photographers. And I go by there at night and look in their windows and go, that's the kind of work I want to put out. So, you know, you always got to have somebody you're striving to emulate. And Ed Delbridge's work was just first quality.
Yeah,
that's what
it was. And he did all of ours when we were kids. And you mentioned the name Mike Freeman. He's the one that has the twin towers out on Franklin Road going out. It looks like, you know, that goes back 500 years in time over in England somewhere. The right. castles. Everybody calls them the castles.
Yep. He's been a knight in his heart forever, I think.
Do you ever picture yourself doing anything like that?
I don't have a desire to. My big thing would be putting one more bridge over to the back lot back there. I don't want to build any turrets or castles or anything.
And Mike actually lives over there.
He does. He lives in those castles.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Yeah. You wonder sometimes, and it's interesting to everybody because every time we go to Florida and we're going down 840, we look over there and say, well, there's the castles coming up. And it is intriguing to see that.
He keeps adding more towers to
it. I know.
I love it. But they have the medieval festivals out there, you know,
yeah.
so that adds a lot to all that.
Photography business must be a very good business to get into.
If you survive the startup years and can keep your quality up, mm-hmm. you can make a good living. I don't know anybody besides, well, even Mr. Delbridge did very well, but he did very well in real estate, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think the picture business made him a wealthy man.
Well, it's important for most people to have those type of images when they're having something done. But just like you and I were talking about earlier, the way that the industry has improved as far as the equipment, and it makes it look like that just anybody can become a photographer, but I have seen some of the pictures that, you know, that we've made over the years, and as good as they are, they're still not even in the same ballpark as somebody that knows what they're doing. Now, when I was growing up, I remember the old dark rooms and things like right. that. Do they still actually use any of that equipment that they had back then?
They still do. In fact, I think MTSU still teaches people how to develop film and go in the dark room and use it enlarger and print it. Mm-hmm. And put the paper in the tray full of chemicals and rock mm-hmm. it and, you know, see it appear. Not anybody I know in the business does that mm-hmm. because digital, I think, is 100 times better. I spent years of my life in the dark room because mm-hmm. people think that, oh, you went and made pictures at this event, now you're done. But usually you have to go back and develop the film, print it, and get it back to, like, if you're working for the bank or somebody, you had to have it ready the next day. So you spent the night listening to the radio in the dark room and working on that stuff.
Now, you used to teach some over at university.
Just continuing education.
Yeah.
I did work for them for a couple of years at the Learning Resources Center when they first built that. We mm-hmm. filmed the football games for Ben Hurt. You know, we go on mm-hmm. all those trips to Murray right. and Eastern and all that, and climb up those, whatever they had for us to sit on and film mm-hmm. at night. And then we did TV shows, filmed the Jesse Beasley story, you know, did a film about that with Van Fox, was mm-hmm. my supervisor there. He's a good man. He's big Mr. Hollywood.
Well, now, what you were teaching would make them good photographers.
It would give them the basics.
Yeah. But to get to your level, I mean, what type of education is required and experience as you go through the process? How do you get to the point of an Alan Lovelace who's at the top of his game?
I have a lot of people ask me that, and I would take classes at MTSU as you get a degree, which I want everybody to get if at all possible. But I would take classes at Nashville Tech or the Nosy School of Art also, because they're more interested in portraiture, I think, from what I've seen the students have come to me. And I would continue with continuing education type classes. There's all kinds of seminars and professional photography organizations that you can get involved with that'll teach you basics and beyond if you want to. And there are photography schools in California on the beach and in Florida on the beach. They always want to have in nice locations. And then, of course, you've got, you know, RIT and places, MIT, places like that that still teach photography. But MTSU's got a program that turns out a lot of photojournalists, from what I can tell you. But let me tell you one thing, Truman. I get people, I'll get in trouble for saying this one. I've been pretty careful. But people come apply for jobs and want to work with us at the studio, and they would scare my mothers. They're not socially acceptable in the way they dress or in the way they present themselves, and they want to work in the photography industry. Well, you still have to be socially acceptable.
Right.
I can't have someone that looks like they're going to be on the police blotter with their hair or clothes or skin art or whatever it is. And I get a ton of those people that come apply for jobs. I keep wanting to just say, you gotta tone it down a little bit to work in Murfreesboro. Maybe in other areas of the country to be fine, but our moms are the best moms, and they've got beautiful families, and they want to work with people that look like them. So I can't wear my hair spiked up 4 feet and purple and a tattoo on my nose and rings through my lips, and I can't do that kind of stuff. So if I was
kind of more of the artsy bohemian type, is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, and there's not a lot of call for that. But if you're listening out there and you think you want to be a photographer, you need to kind of think like, what do these people want you to look like? Because you have to bend to their wishes for a lot of it.
Of course, photography is a form of art. It really is.
Oh, it definitely is. You have to be thinking artistically.
Well, let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by Pirtle and Howerton Automotive. And they're at 2006 North Main Street in Shevaville, Tennessee. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, take about a 20-minute drive down 231 South just before you get into downtown Shevaville, and you'll see them on the left. Pull in, take a look at their inventory, get with some of their people, and sit down, have a cup of coffee, enjoy your day. I know that they're always looking for somebody to come by and enjoy their day with. But as soon as you get through, I know that you'll be taking a new key, putting it in your new car, and having a wonderful drive back from Shevaville. You can't beat that. And if you'd like to call them, they're at 1-800-264-6800, or you can pull them up on the internet, PirtleHowerton.com.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Fall in love with Murfreesboro's newest Italian restaurant, Gondolier Italian Restaurant and Pizza.
Grand opening on Monday on Broad in the Old Shoney's location.
Enjoy 79 menu items under $6.99, pizza, salad, subs, pita wraps, calzones, strombolis. With a menu like Gondolier's, there's something for everyone. Gondolier Italian Restaurant and Pizza.
Grand opening on Monday.
On Broad in the Old Shoney's location.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
With today's guest, Alan Lovelace.
And we're back on the air with Alan Lovelass, and we've covered a lot of things that I can think of. And one of the things that I've got a lot of friends that love to go out and shoot wildlife, and I'm talking about with a camera. And Dan Whittle is one of them. He has some of the best pictures. When we were in Florida, he was taking pictures of birds and alligators and everything else we had in there. And he does take good pictures. I mean, he really does. They're almost professional looking. If you were giving Dan some advice, what kind of advice would you give him to help him improve and get him up to another level?
I would tell him to get a long telephoto lens and learn to use it. That way he can get close up on that wildlife and not have to get near that alligator.
Well, now, I don't want to tell him that. We were trying to push him a little bit closer to the alligator when we were down there. The guy was telling us, we were in a boat, and he was telling us that the alligator could leap his whole length from where he was sitting into our boat, which was kind of a little bit unnerving because, you know, it's a pretty good-sized alligator. But I have never been able to use a camera. My wife has always been the camera person in our house, and I don't know why it is. But is there a class for people who are completely incompetent?
Sure.
That when somebody, if you're walking down the beach and they say, "Oh, would you take a picture of me and my mate or whatever?"
Sure.
What do you do to people that are completely without any talent at all in picture taking?
I would, luckily now with the cameras we have, you can put them on automatic, so mm-hmm. you don't have to worry about all those adjustments. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is look through the viewfinder.
Is yours automatic?
Not normally. Normally I'm on manual, so I want to control how bright or how dark or what it's going to look like. But if it's on automatic, most people will put, when you do, you take a picture, they'll put the face in the very center of that frame, mm-hmm. where really the head should be in the top third of the picture. So your face shouldn't be in, you shouldn't have all that headroom, all that sky above you. Mm-hmm. You ought to fill it with people or the mountains or whatever. You don't want to take a picture of the mountains and have tons of sky, or take a picture of the lake. You ought to get the lake and the woods behind it and a little bit of sky, but not the lake at the bottom of the picture and all that sky. And that's what people do most of the time. That's a big mistake.
You're always wanting to have the background around the person. And I've noticed in a lot of our pictures, the person turns out to be so small, they're almost not recognizable.
Yeah.
How is there any way that you can compromise that to make it where it still is a beautiful picture, but you still got a great picture of the individual you're trying to take a picture of?
There's two ways, Truman. Either you walk closer to them and make them more important in it, or, like I say, get a telephoto and just zoom up to them, mm-hmm. and you can still see the lake behind them or the mountains or whatever they are they're in front of, or the building, but they become more important. Mm-hmm. But staying closer to your subject, that's another thing people do. Mm-hmm. They'll stand way back and take a picture, and you go, "Who is that?" Mm-hmm. You know, you can't tell. And so it's really not a picture you can use or want later. But you notice the most dynamic, important photographs are usually closer up. Mm-hmm. You know, people want to get right up on the subject and really see it.
People look better when it's a close, when it's up close, I think.
Yeah.
It doesn't, for some reason, you don't show all the problems with the face or whatever.
And how people stand and how people sit. You know, people, I have especially young people go, why can't I sit like this? Why have mm-hmm. I got to sit up? So I'll take one of them sitting like they sit, especially mm-hmm. with my seniors. I'll start out with, you sit over there and look this way, and we'll do this and this. And I'll take a few, and then I'll do it my way. So they have a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a modern movement to look casual and like you're not really paying attention. Mm-hmm. But then after you do that, then you correct where's the hand, you know, where are the feet. People don't suck in and mm-hmm. they come up like they need to sometimes, you know.
You have to be a people person to really be a good photographer, don't you?
You do. To communicate and connect, mm-hmm. and in our business you have to connect quickly. Mm-hmm. You don't have all day to get to know each other. You have to walk in the room, see what they're like, introduce yourself, and let them see what you're like, and just get them comfortable as quick as possible. So the sooner they relax, the sooner they trust you, the better the portraits are.
Most people don't want their picture taken. I know when we have ours taken at church, everybody, I mean, especially the guys. Guys hate to have their picture taken.
Oh, they complain.
Yeah, because they put you in all these crazy positions where your back's hurting, your neck's hurting, and your head's tilted one way or the other. But I guess that's important.
Sometimes it is, but there's so many people out there that get hired to be a photographer that have never been one, mm-hmm. and that happens a lot, like we were talking about the school business. Mm-hmm. You know, it's their summer job. Mm-hmm. So they'll try anything, and they don't care how you feel. Because you can do a relaxed, comfortable pose that they won't complain about. Mm-hmm. And I even said in my newsletter I gave you, our senior guys will leave, you know, and they go, well, that wasn't too bad. I mm-hmm. had a good time. Mm-hmm. You know, and they were dreading it being a guy, and then all of a sudden they go, that was pretty neat. And they'll come back. The family, we let our high school senior families have portrait sessions, mm-hmm. and they'll come right back, and they'll be our friends, and you don't have to drag them in there kicking and screaming. So it's a lot more fun.
Now, when you are taking pictures for a person, do you give them a number of options, and you take them at different, and you get to show them that? That has really come forward, because usually when we had our pictures taken years ago, we didn't have a clue how it was going to turn out or anything. But now you can actually pick which one seems to be the best for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When you, especially moms with two-year-olds, they're going, oh, man, you're not getting anything. And I'll just turn around and put it on TV for them right there in the camera room mm-hmm. and go, look. And I'll just start showing them images on the TV and the screen. And I go, wow, they're beautiful. But they're so nervous about if the kids are doing right, or they're, and I just say, it's going great. And then mom gets relaxed, and when the mom's relaxed, the kids relax, and everything goes well.
What do you do when there's a screaming brat?
We blow bubbles, and we get mom to leave the room. Then we threaten them. No, not really. We don't threaten them.
You sure? Did you go out and shoot shotgun a couple of times? Hey, kid.
Yeah. See this? No, yeah. We don't have to do that.
Oh,
I always have assistants in there that are calm and quiet and sweet, and mm-hmm. and they take care of all that stuff for me. I sing the wheels on the bus a lot. You mm-hmm. know, the wheels on the bus go round and round. Mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time singing that, and the Itsy Bitsy Spider, and people would never think that. I had a hunting and fishing friend walk in behind me one day and didn't know it. And I was on my hands and knees blowing bubbles singing wheels on the bus. He said, you're not going with me anymore.
Well, it has been fun, Alan. It's been a fast hour as usual, and I'm so happy to have you on today.
Thank you.
It's been a great show, and I've learned a lot, and I'm sure everybody else has out there. And when you get home, tell Betty hey for me.
I'll do it, Truman. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. See
ya. Have fun.